Westinghouse, leader in the field of light as in everything electrical, brings you the well-known author, war correspondent, and radio friend of millions, Ted Malone. Well, friends, your guide to quality when you buy light bulbs is a name you know well, Westinghouse. The men of Westinghouse spare no efforts to make Westinghouse bulbs as perfect as possible. Every Westinghouse bulb is a product of painstaking research and engineering skill, rigid quality control, precision manufacture. To ensure best results, Westinghouse designed its own precision machines, refines its own tungsten to a purity of 99.9%. When you buy Westinghouse Mazda bulbs for your home, you buy bulbs that burn brighter and last longer than ordinary bulbs. So for better seeability in your home, insist on Westinghouse bulbs. And now, Ted Malone.
Hello there. Almost every day someone asks if we're going to write a book on our experiences overseas. Reserving the right to change my mind, no. But there is one war book that should be written and is going to be written. And I'm going to ask you today to provide some of the pages for that book. Here's the story. I received a letter the other day from Dr. W. Francis English, head of the Department of History at the University of Missouri, with one of the most interesting, one of the most important requests I've had. It's important to you, too, because it involves you. Dr. English and his staff at Missouri University are compiling a book of this war composed entirely of letters and excerpts from letters written to you folk back home by your service man or service woman overseas. A book designed to be a moving chronicle of the war, as seen and reported by the G.I. Joes and Janes of America. Some of the greatest stories of this war have flown from far-off shores to the homes of America in the simple, honest, uninhibited words of your boys and girls in service writing their letters home. So here's what I want you to do. Read over these letters you've saved, choose the one you think best, copy it, and send it to me today. Remember, though, since the volume of mail makes it impossible for any of the letters to be returned, don't send the original. Make a copy of it instead. If you have difficulty choosing the letter you want to send, if you have three or four tied for top honors, make copies of them all and send them on. And Dr. Francis and his staff at Missouri University will make the final choices for the book. These don't have to be dramatic letters, pages filled with great adventure, but just the simple, honest, heartfelt expressions of feeling as written by your boys and girls in their own words and their own thoughts. Homey, conversational letters like this one written by a homesick merchant mariner, dreaming of a ranch somewhere back here. Dear Mom, it began. Didn't write yesterday. It was the roughest yet. I didn't feel too good, so I slept all day. Today's a little calmer, and what a relief. We're getting away from the coastal swells now. I don't mind it so bad when it's not rough, but I lost my appetite just out of Frisco. Maybe I'll get it back now. More and more I think of the old ranch. Soon as the war's over, I'm going to settle down on it and lead a life I'll be contented in. I'm letting my whiskers grow. Haven't shaved since we left the Golden Gate. Wonder how long they'll get. I went on watch at noon today, and at 4:30 the Navy crew had anti-aircraft drills. They'll sure make it hot for those Japs. We're 100 miles ahead of our convoy now. Maybe they'll catch us in a few days. Got clean linen today. Had spaghetti for supper. Got to study now, so write me soon. Love, Norm. Written without any thought of publication, these words sent to a mother tell a simple but dramatic story of war itself. Certainly you must have received a letter like that. Copy it and send it to me today. It's an opportunity for you to contribute to history and to do a favor for your guy or gal, perpetuating their words for history in a book that will picture the war through their war letters home. Out on Kwajalein Atoll, a young Navy ensign, commander of an LCT, took a few minutes out the other day to write a girl back home, secretary in our office. Thanks a lot for your letter, gal, he wrote. The lifting of censorship permits me to tell you where I am now, Kwajalein. As you know, this is where Raymond Clapper was killed. We discovered the wreckage of his plane a few months ago while searching for another. General Harmon also took off from here, only to vanish on the way to Pearl Harbor. Our main job has been to carry aviation gas and supplies for the B-29s, as this is their only base between Pearl Harbor and Guam. Most of the time we were menaced by Jap subs coming from other islands nearby. Mille Atoll, only 50 miles away, was a big Jap sub base. We've really been more lucky than some of the other LCTs. Sort of makes you thank God all around. Letters from Army men, men of the sea, from Marines, Coast Guard, Air Force, just as they wrote them to you here at home. Letters like this one written by a bomber pilot stationed somewhere in England to a friend back here in New York. Dear buddy, well, here it is my birthday and I'm in combat. Things are a little different than in the good old States. You know, you really don't know there's a war going on over there. I didn't even know it till now. It's more than just being without butter and meat and walking instead of riding. Over here, it's going without sleep at night and wondering if that next one is yours, sweating it out during a raid. Or it's like a buddy of mine who used to bunk with me. He was married 3 months before he came across, over here 6 months, and was one of the missing at the Ploesti, the great raid. We went through his effects to sort out what to send home to his wife and family. It was a letter he received the day of the raid, one he'd never seen or opened. It was from his wife, and it said he was the proud father of an 8-pound baby girl. He never knew it. In some ways, I'm glad the folks back home don't know there's a war going on. Don't have to worry about bombs or gas or blackout. That's one of the reasons we're fighting, of course. But it would do us all a lot of good if we could take a newsreel of a bomber landing back at the home field after a raid, seeing the bomb bay doors open, the boys getting out, the hole in the pilot's side, the broken glass in the nose, the red streaks of blood painted by the wind on the fuselage, the co-pilot and the radio man carrying out what's left of the pilot, tenderly but self-consciously as though it were still breakable. The bombardier with his buddy's blood all over him and nothing to say to the ground man who puts his arms around him. The tail gunner who continues to sit in his turret and putter with his guns, although there's no need to now. Believe me, friend, I've seen this picture so many times late I'll never be able to erase it from my mind. Wouldn't want to if I could. You have to see it with your own eyes before you believe that this war isn't just another movie with the good guys beating the bad guys, the kidding about death, and that standard gag of the American boy being equal to 5 Germans and 10 Japs. Well, buddy, guess that's all for this time. Take good care of yourself. My love to your folks. It's simply signed, good luck. We got a lot of letters like this, but we need some more. It's not a commercial enterprise by an individual, but rather an educational and historical project for publication endorsed by the University of Missouri. Go through your serviceman's letters right now. Choose the most interesting, the most picturesque, the most vivid, the most typical. Make a copy of it and send it to me. Ted Malone, American Broadcasting Company, New York 20, New York, and mark it War Letters. I'll make it my responsibility to see to it that your letter is delivered to the university immediately to compete for its place in the pages of history with America's war letters of her fighting men.
Ted Malone will be back in just a moment with today's postscript. Westinghouse engineers perfected countless special lighting units for our armed forces during the war. But the fact is, standard Westinghouse bulbs did their bit, too. For example, a tiny Westinghouse lamp usually found in the taillight of bicycles. It proved ideal for attaching to cargo parachutes for night operations. And this same small bulb became a miniature beacon to guide survivors to life preservers in inky black seas. Household-sized Westinghouse lamps, wired in strands like Christmas tree lights, proved invaluable for quick marking of emergency landing fields. Whatever the problem, an answer was found, thanks to American ingenuity. And now here's Bess Johnson with ingenious hints on home lighting from Westinghouse.
Well, Chappie, ingenious isn't quite the word. Home lighting is more than a matter of common sense. After all, home is where the heart is. Home should be a bright, cheerful place. And there's nothing quite like plenty of light to provide a pleasant, cheery atmosphere. More important, proper lighting means seeability. That is the right light in the right place. Make sure there's plenty of light in the kitchen and laundry. Place 100-watt Westinghouse bulbs wherever anyone reads, writes, or sews. Why not check seeability in your home today? Replace blackened, half-exhausted bulbs and fill the empty sockets with Westinghouse bulbs. For better seeability, for brighter, longer-lasting light, insist on Westinghouse bulbs.
And now here's Ted Malone with today's postscript.
Remember, the letters your boys and girls wrote you from overseas may be just the ones Dr. English and his staff at Missouri University are looking for. So go through your letters now, today. Choose the one you think best, copy it off, and send it to me, Ted Malone, American Broadcasting Company, New York 20, New York. Mark it War Letter, and I'll deliver it immediately to Dr. English and his staff, who'll make the final choices. Although we're not asking for poetry in these letters, there's many a dramatic story told in lines of verse, as in this poem by George Abbey, who was stationed at Camp Crowder, Missouri. He calls it Letter Home. When the bell in the white steeple rings, I am in that ringing. When the brown thrush in the greenwood sings, hear me in the singing. For all the beauty that you taught in those first years, in the long growing, live now in every realm of thought, like clean wind high blowing, like deer that from a dark wood springs. And when the long war comes to end within me, as in worlds around, the peace you gave, the love you send, long held in fertile ground, will blossom on the air of home, in the steeple light, and in the thrush's song. Hold fast, dear hearts, keep courage warm. I shall not stay too long, too long. And when I stand with you again, I shall be nearer, out of pain. Steeple and thrush and hills in storm, familiar soil and friendly rain, all these will shine with clearer light because of absence and the long night. Goodbye.
Ted Malone comes to you at this time every day, Monday through Friday, brought to you by Westinghouse, maker of more than 30 million appliances for the American home. Until tomorrow at this same time, this is Ernest Chappell saying goodbye for Westinghouse. And here's a friendly reminder, improper light means strained sight, often impaired vision. So protect your sight with the right light now. Westinghouse bulbs mean extra comfort, because they burn brighter, last longer. Get better seeability with Westinghouse bulbs.
This is the American Broadcasting Company.